I'd like to read a little from God's Word, if you want to follow. It is in Matthew chapter 16. I'll read from verse 13. Matthew 16, and I'll read from verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. So a very famous passage. Peter, despite the fact that apparently all the people around him are not correctly identifying who Jesus truly is, gets it absolutely spot on and right. And we sometimes characterise Peter as one who kind of blunders in and makes a mess and thrashes around and all the rest of it. But here, he got it absolutely spot on. And as a result of that, Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." And yet he gives the glory to his Father in heaven, not to Peter's intelligence, not to Peter's theological acumen, but to the God of heaven who revealed that wonderful truth to him. And if we understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Deliverer, sent to be the Saviour of the world, then that has been revealed to us also. He then goes on to make a remarkable statement, a statement sadly which has caused various disagreements over the years and misunderstandings. He goes on in verse 18 to say, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." The more Protestant the interpreter, the more likely they are to say it was God's revelation to Peter that he's referring to here. An idea with which I have a degree of sympathy. And yet he goes on to give a very graphic picture. "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Against what? Against the church. Now, depending on your version, you might have a different word for Hades. It might be hell. And that can work as a translation. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Greek word, of course, is Hades, and that was the underworld in Greek thinking, as well as a hell in New Testament theology. It is the place of the dead. It might be translated the grave. In the Hebrew, Sheol, sometimes the pit. So, it's not so much, I think, that the hell as a form of punishment will prevail against it. That wouldn't make sense. But rather, death will not prevail against it. Death and decay, the pit and the grave, will not prevail against the church. And the church, of course, doesn't mean some great denomination. It certainly doesn't mean a country chapel or a grand cathedral. But rather, that gathering of people, that congregation of believers who have met from this time, arguably even in Old Testament times, if you will, and will continue to meet until the Lord Jesus comes again for them. This church is going to be persecuted. The time is coming when Peter will be led by people whom he doesn't know, and they'll take him to a place where he doesn't like, and they'll execute him there. In fact, probably all of the apostles meet a grisly end. And we know even today, we refer to it so much, You know, there are many countries around the world where the church is badly persecuted. There are countries in the world today which have very, very tiny Christian populations. But if you were to go back in time, in fact, they had quite a significant Christian population, but they were persecuted to death. And all over the world, wicked governments are doing what they can to oppress Christian people and try and smother the truth of the gospel. And in many respects, it looks like they are winning. What does the Lord say? The gates of death will not prevail against it. But Lord, your apostles will die. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But Lord, they'll be persecuted. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Likewise, in history, there have been various corruptions and heresies which have beset the Church of God. There was a time in this land where, although there was a church in every village, you would struggle to hear the gospel preached. In chapels like ours, it became fashionable a century and a half ago, for qualified men to enter the pulpit and tell congregations not to believe God's words. And guess what? They went along with it. Yeah. And what happened as a result? Chapel after chapel, church after church, closed its doors. Yeah. And as we were talking before the meeting, God has handed many of them over to unbelievers as a judgment upon them. Yeah. And we might say, but Lord, the church is weak, and the doors are being closed, and they're being sold off for this and sold off for that, their buildings at least. But the Lord said, the gates of death, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, the Lord has determined, according to his sovereign will, that he will have a body of believers on the earth at all times until he calls them home and they meet him in the air. And of course, this evening we are coming to pray for a situation which, in one respect, doesn't look terribly hopeful. But I think we need to recall the promise that the Lord gave. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of a denomination, the gates of unbelief, the gates of financial gain, the gates of spiritual apathy, they will not prevail against it either.